summertime tips and fun facts from Paul, Kristen, and Dexter at Total Wine & More.
If you're topping off your burger with grilled onions and blue cheese, pair your work of art with a spicy Malbec.
Nothing beats a buttery Chardonnay with grilled corn on the cob. I'm ready to find you the perfect bottle of white for your next get-together.
Pack up the cooler for this weekend. We've got canned wine and beer ready to throw on ice.
Now with 9 locations in the Bay Area. Visit our newest store at Stevens Creek Central. Shop online at TotalWine.com. The selection is ridiculous. Cheers.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, Nadia. Thanks for joining me. Now, look into earnings. KL Kepung or KLK Berhad bought its first quarter results last week. Now, the group posted core net profit of $447 million. There was a bump seen in its earnings seen from higher CPO prices. Now, are you expecting better earnings projection for the rest of the year riding on this, you know, CPO price rally, so to speak?
Okay, so basically KLK first quarter results was a good start to the year. Revenue managed to grow by 21% quarter on quarter and almost 27% on a year-on-year basis to 5.5 billion ringgit. And core net profit, as you mentioned, adjusting for one-off items, increased by 1.4% quarter on quarter and almost doubled year-on-year to 447 million ringgit. Now, this actually accounts for 33% of our full-year forecast, but we deem this as in line with our expectations as we assume a more prudent second half performance. Yes, we think that second quarter FY17 results will likely to stay high because of the strong CPO prices. However, we are a bit more conservative on the second half of FY17 for KLK, mainly because we think that CPO prices may likely to trend downwards as production improves in the second half of FY17.
And following on that as well, Nadia, the groups also saw a large decline in its manufacturing division, a decline by 80.3% year-on-year for the first quarter to 24.7 million. This was despite an increase in revenue of 30.4% year-on-year. Now, the group cited tough market conditions, increased cost of raw materials, as well as unrealized gains and fair value movements which dragged down earnings. Is the pain likely to persist further for KLK's manufacturing segment?
Okay, basically, KLK's resource-based manufacturing sector consists of three main divisions, which are oleochemicals, derivatives, and specialty fats. The oleochemical division is the core business for this manufacturing sector, and the reason for the plunge in profit for the manufacturing sector to 24.7 million ringgit in first quarter FY17 from 126 million ringgit in first quarter FY16 was mainly due to the substantially lower contribution from this oleochemical division, which saw its profit declining to 18.4 million ringgit from 117 million ringgit back in first quarter of FY16. So the drop in profit was mainly underpinned by the high CPO and palm kernel prices. As you know, KLK's CPO average selling prices increased by 38% year-on-year to 2,720 ringgit per metric ton in first quarter FY17, while the palm kernel average selling prices increased by 84.3% year-on-year to 2,648 ringgit per metric ton. Hence, this has increased their raw material cost for the oleochemical division and also has narrowed the margins for this particular division. So, for second quarter FY17, as we expect CPO and palm kernel prices to remain high, we are expecting KLK's manufacturing sector profit will likely to remain low. However, come second half of FY17, when we think that CPO prices likely to trend downwards, then on we think that KLK's manufacturing sector should improve on lower raw material costs.
Right. Nadia, you are maintaining your buy call on KLK. You have a target price of 28.72 ringgit. What are some of the catalysts that you think would prompt this?
Okay, yes, I still have a buy call on KLK target price at 28.72 ringgit. This is based on 22 times of 2017 earnings. Now, we like KLK for a couple of reasons. The company has good management, quite transparent, and their oil palm estates are very well managed. Secondly, the increasing maturity of their plantation estates, with a big chunk of the estates are at their prime age. The weighted average palm tree age profile for KLK is at 12 years, and this is considered the prime age. And lastly, we are expecting better production yields going forward, and we forecast growth in FFB and CPO production to increase by about 8% in FY17 for KLK. So we expect higher FFB and CPO production as well as the lower cost of production to drive profit growth in FY17 to 19 for KLK. So that's why we still have a buy call.
And shift your focus to Sime Darby as well. Nadia, you've actually upgraded your call on Sime Darby to hold from sell with a target price of 8 ringgit and 61 cents. And you've also changed your valuation to a sum of parts method. I guess this is taking into account the group's plan to spin off its plantation segment into a separate single listed entity. What are your thoughts about Sime Darby and its spin-off plans?
Okay, so basically the plantation and property will be separately listed on Bursa Malaysia, while the trading and logistic business will remain under the existing Sime Darby Berhad. So we believe the proposed plan to create three standalone businesses is basically to unlock the value of Sime Darby as a conglomerate. So the demerger of the plantation business, in our view, could get a better valuation as compared to the other business, mainly because of the current high CPO prices. And also take note that Sime Darby's plantation has a huge land bank, close to 1 million hectares, with 61% of it planted across Malaysia, Indonesia, PNG, and as well as Liberia. So Sime Darby is also the single largest oil palm plantation company in the world and also the world's largest producer of certified sustainable palm oil, CSPO, producing about 2.6 million metric tons of CSPO a year. So, however, on the other hand, we also take note that Sime Darby is currently trading at a lofty valuation of about 26 times of 2017 earnings, which may imply that some of the potential unlocking of value has already been priced in, especially since the news on the breakup of Sime Darby has been circulated in the market since last year. So we understand that management is currently evaluating the implementation measures and as well as the time needed to execute the plan. At the moment, no details has been of the proposed spin-offs has been released to the public. Maybe we'll get some colours on it during Sime's second quarter FY17 results briefing, which is expected to be out on 27th of February. So until then, we are still waiting for further updates from Sime Darby management. At the moment, keeping our SOTP derived target price of 8 ringgit and 61 cent for Sime Darby. This is basically based on 25 times PE for the plantation sector, 14 times PE for the property, 24 times for the industrial sector, and 10 times PE for motor distribution as well as the logistic department.
Thanks so much for your insights. That was Nadia Aquida, analyst at Affin Hwang Capital. And now Tan Chung Han speaks to Tim Mahalan, president at TJM Limited.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.